pity on the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, children, I'm sure you're all getting pretty excited about your spring program for Sunday. And the word on the street is that you get to wear cowboy hats, which sounds ever so much fun. And I'm sure it's going to be a wonderful show. Now, why am I mentioning that to you at the beginning of the sermon today, except that today we have the feast days of some saints who were priests and great missionaries going back to the time, well, before there were cowboys in America. Of course, there were still Indians because they got here first. And how these priests and missionaries got people to convert and to be good and to go to the sacraments and to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. One of them was the great disciple of the Holy Cross of Jesus, and he died just before the American Revolution, and he's St. Paul of the Cross, and he was very devoted to the Passion, and he founded an order named after the Passion. And another was St. Louis de Montfort. He's right there. And St. Louis de Montfort, he teaches us about the true devotion to the Blessed Mother. And another was a missionary in far off Oceania, it's called, closer to New Zealand, I think, and he's called St. Peter Chanel. Well, what they had in common was this, that they had a way to be able to reach poor and humble and simple people, and other people who were very educated and wealthy didn't always like that. So what they did was that in church, sometimes they would have a kind of a play, and it took place right in church, and everyone got very interested in watching the play. For example, one of the plays that St. Louis de Montfort had, the devil was represented as a wealthy woman, a society woman, she was called. And in another play, he took the role of a dying sinner. And he was rolling around on the stage and sort of screaming and hollering, and he was wearing some sort of a special costume. And on one side, he had his guardian angel who wanted to save his soul, and on the other side, he had a devil who wanted to drag his soul down to hell. Well, the people were so interested. They watched and they listened to everything. And they loved this priest because they knew that he was poor and he loved them too. And he was always making religion as interesting as possible. And then when he taught them how to pray the rosary and to think about the different mysteries, and they would have processions and to love the cross of our Lord, then he got them to build hills. You know how we have the cross of our Lord that's called a Calvary on that little hill? Well, we built that hill ourselves because originally the property here was very flat. But we built it with an earth mover, and that would be sort of fun for some of the boys to climb in, I'm sure, and move earth. And it was done 1, 2, 3. But back then, to build these hills to put a cross or a Calvary on top of, everybody participated, and everyone brought loads of dirt until the hill was sometimes very high, and then at the top, they would put the crucifix and St. John and the Blessed Mother and St. Mary Magdalene, and that's called having a Calvary. Well, all the people got interested in all of this stuff, and pretty soon they were going to confession again and saying their daily prayers and dressing modestly and living like Christians. Except he always made enemies because others were jealous of him. Never mind, he drew many souls to our Lord. I think eventually somebody poisoned him. And he didn't quite kill him, but he got sick to his stomach, and then eventually, after a while, he died. But not before having written a beautiful book about how we can love the Blessed Mother that's called True Devotion. Now, St. Paul of the Cross, who died just before the American Revolution, he was a bit like that, but St. Louis was in France, and he was in another country called Italy, where the capital of the church is in Rome. And he did a lot of terrific penance that really impressed people. For example, even in the winter, he would go around barefoot. He never wore shoes. You might think it's fun not to wear shoes in the summer, But imagine in the cold of winter with ice and snow and with jaggedy things you'd have to walk over. He never wore shoes as a penance. And sometimes when he was going through the forest to preach to the bandits and the robbers that were there, they felt sorry for him and they would put their coats down on the ground so he wouldn't have to walk on the thorns. Well, when he preached a sermon, he didn't preach from the pulpit. He had sort of a platform in the front of the church like a stage, and he would stand there and he would preach. And if the people were, you know how sometimes in church you don't mean to, but you talk, and you don't watch the altar and you don't pay attention to the mass. Well, if the people were misbehaving that way, then he would do something to get their notice. He wouldn't stop and holler at anybody or threaten them. What he would do would be he would unbutton the top of his cassock, about 4 or 5 buttons, and he would pull it down over his shoulder, and he would unbutton his shirt too so that you could see the skin on his shoulder. And then he would get a whip that he had with him. And it was a small whip. It wasn't that big, but it was sharp, like the whip they used on Jesus for the scourging. And he would scourge himself. And he would say, "Sinners, this is what they did to Jesus. He shed his blood for you. Aren't you sorry for your sins?" And see, back then, as today, some people were terrible sinners. They did horrible, horrible things. And they weren't even sorry or anything. Well, he wanted to make the people realize about how much Jesus loved them and how sorry they should be and everything. So, well, they paid attention. It was like a show in a sense, but a sacred show. These saints did this, and everybody listened. And then they started to change their lives and to save their immortal souls. So that's, I suppose, having a show not just for some entertainment, but for the highest purpose of all. But at the same time, going to Mass, children, is not like going to a show. Sometimes it will be a quiet Mass, and sometimes you may feel bored or a little bit tempted, but then you have to realize the other part of religion is being very quiet. If part of it is practicing and wearing your cowboy hats, wouldn't that be funny if you ever a priest ever came with a cowboy hat, but I don't think you'd see that in church, but there's enough going on to keep you interested for sure. But the other part is being quiet and prayerful. Did you ever go fishing? I mention that because St. Louis de Montfort talked about, he said you have to, oh no, it was St. Paul of the Cross, St. Paul said, you have to go fishing. What did he mean by that? Well, if you ever went fishing, you know how that works. You have to, you go out in your boat and you put your, you put the fishing rod out, and then the line goes down with a little bait on it. And then what happens next? You have to be very quiet. You have to be still. You have to not move. It's a bit like having Caravaggio around the cat, you know. If he might come and sit in my lap for a while, but if Father Chicada comes in the room or says anything, the cat is out of there in an instant because he has strict rules for being quiet. Well, it's the same thing for praying in church. Sometimes we have to be very quiet. What do we go fishing for? We go fishing for pearls, says St. Paul of the Cross. People in different countries, like in Indonesia, like in Polynesia, they dive for pearls. So swimmers dive and they hold their breath, they go all the way down, and then they find on the sand, the bottom of the sea, in shells, beautiful pearls. St. Paul says, you can find beautiful pearls of all of the virtues of Jesus and Mary, of holiness and kindness and graces and everything. And it's such a big sea, the passion of Jesus, you could never dive deep enough. Well, that's what happens at every Mass, isn't it? At every Mass, even if it's a very quiet one, and no one's saying too much or singing or anything, at every Mass, Jesus is dying on the cross. That's his passion. And he's rising again from the dead. And he's being born at Bethlehem. So there's plenty to think about. Or if you want to look at it that way, there's plenty to go fishing for. Plenty for us to do. These are all the different ways that our Lord uses to help us to save our souls. Oh, and then don't forget the third one. The third saint today is called St. Peter Chanel. And he was a missionary to an island not that far from Hawaii, I suppose you would say it that way, and it was called Futuna. And at the beginning, nobody got converted. He wasn't successful at all. So he learned their language so he could speak to them and give sermons in their own language. And the son of the chieftain who ruled over the island, he got baptized. He was his first convert. But then the chieftain thought to himself, well, I don't want people to follow Christ's religion because then they won't follow my religion anymore. So he told one of his sons-in-law to go and to take care of the priest. And so he went and he pretended that he needed to be taken care of because he was a doctor too, this priest was, and he had gotten wounded, this man did, but it was just pretending. And the priest went to take care of him, and then he got an axe, the man did, and he chopped off his head with the axe. And just before he did so, St. Peter Chanel says, "It is in his own language, it is well for me that you do this." In other words, he saw this was God's will, and this would be another way of saving their souls. How did that work? You see, martyrs get graces from God. That's another way of getting people to go to heaven. The blood of the martyrs, we always say, is the seed of the church. So, after he got his head chopped off, within a year or two, the very ones who had murdered him all were converted, and pretty soon the entire island became Catholic and very devout. These are some of the ways, children, drama and beautiful ceremonies and exciting sermons and just quiet prayer that our Lord uses, and he's the one most of all who's going fishing for our souls. God bless you. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.